Well, it's a video that by now you've either seen or at least heard about. Shocking images of NFL star running back Ray Rice punching his then-fiancée in an elevator, then dragging her limp body out, all while looking unfazed by his actions. That video surfaced yesterday and resulted in the Baltimore Ravens dropping Rice from their roster and the NFL suspending him indefinitely. But is it too little too late from a league who back in July suspended Rice for only 2 games? That was after seeing only part of the video, which the league maintains they never saw in full until yesterday. Lots of strong reactions have been pouring out since NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's announcement. Former Vikings linebacker Ben Lieber said not to take attention away from Ray Rice, but Goodell and his suits saw the elevator video in July. They need to be held accountable as well. Assistant coach for the Chicago Bears, Chris Harris, said the NFL should have zero tolerance for domestic violence. There is never a reason for any man to be violent toward any woman. Former linebacker Coy Wire, I'd be damned if I had to be associated with him. Well, Don McPherson is a former NFL quarterback, Philadelphia Eagles, Houston Oilers, and he's on the line with us now. Hi, Don.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. You know, this incident with Ray Rice has many, many facets. One of them has been to shine a light on attitudes and culture within NFL locker rooms, and we're going to talk about leadership as well. What about the locker room in your experience? Has this type of behavior been tolerated or ignored in the past?
I don't think that this type of behavior has been tolerated because it really hasn't been this graphic. And I think a lot of the language that goes on in the locker room is no different than the language that goes on in any all-male environment. But to see this kind of violence, there is a point where people say, whoa, 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 you've gone too far. And I think that's what the reaction that so many people now, even within the league, once they saw this video, has really taken a quick pause to say, you know, this is not just some guy talking trash, but this is really a horrific crime.
How do you see the league's and the team, the Baltimore Ravens, reaction to this crime in context? The cynical view is that the Ravens and the league realized they had a major PR problem with a star who was a violent assaulter and they had to drop him, not some kind of magnanimous stand against domestic violence.
Well, I think that's exactly right. To be fair, the league's job is not to be judge and jury on all crime. However, the video of just her body laying unconscious and Ray Rice showing no sense of urgency to help her should have been enough for the league to say this is not the type of guy that we want in our league. And I think what has happened subsequently has really been a matter of trying to clean up a mess that really was created from a 2-game suspension that should have, in my opinion, should have been expulsion from the league. And I think if you or I or anyone that we know, especially someone who has a public-facing job, was on video, we would not have a job the next day. And I think the same thing should have happened in this case.
Don McPherson, former NFL quarterback, thank you so much for your views.
My pleasure.
So how does the NFL policy, such as it is now, on domestic abuse compare to policies in other workplaces in this country? We want to explore that very question now with Maya Ragu. She's senior attorney with Futures Without Violence, a nonprofit dedicated to ending violence against women, children, and families. Maya, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. You know, a lot of people on Twitter and other places since the Ray Rice incident and firing in these last couple of days have said, well, if Ray Rice worked for any other employer, he would have been gone long ago. Is that really true?
Well, you know, I wish I could say it was, but it's not. And the way that workplaces have sort of responded to the issue of domestic and sexual violence has really varied pretty widely across industries and across sizes of companies. It's just unfortunate that it's taken a graphic video of a man punching a woman to get a response or to sort of make people aware of this issue.
Well, the workplace policies that are out there currently say what?
Well, it's a couple of different things. Policies that are good policies or that we think are good policies are those that take sort of a proactive approach, right? They're looking at not only responding to employees who are victims of violence or who perpetrate violence, but thinking about prevention. How do we stop these sort of things from happening, or how do we reach out and make sure people who need help are getting connected to resources?
So how does it work in practicality in the regular working world, not in the world of the NFL, which is in the public eye and doesn't have the same PR concerns that maybe the Baltimore Ravens have with a star like Ray Rice? How does it work in the real world if a boss hears through the grapevine that his employee in accounting beat his wife after a night out on Friday night?
Well, the key here, right, in any policy dealing with this issue is the employer has to make a decision about to what extent is this behavior affecting the workplace. And what is sort of the tie to the workplace? If someone is engaging in that sort of behavior away from the workplace and there aren't any performance issues and they're not using work time and work resources to commit that criminal activity, then a lot of employers, that's where they've chosen to draw the line and saying, you know, what can we really do in that particular instance except to condemn that sort of behavior? We don't know if we really have a right to penalize or punish someone for what's going on in their private life. Now, if that person gets arrested and is facing criminal charges, that can be a separate matter. The employer can say, you know what, we take this issue seriously. Employees who engage in any kind of criminal behavior, here are the penalties for that, regardless of whether you're actually convicted or not. With some employers, they say, you know what, we take this issue so seriously that even if this isn't having an impact on the workplace, in terms of performance or healthcare costs or any other thing, we just won't tolerate that. It's really sort of a choice for employers on how strongly they want to address this issue and be proactive and establish from the get-go that there's a culture of respect in their workplace on all kinds of issues, not just domestic violence, sexual harassment, sexual violence, bullying, anything.
Well, what businesses that we may have heard of, companies that are familiar to Americans, have these types of policies and are doing it right, in your view?
A lot of different industries. And not surprisingly, I think the first companies that did it were the ones who had a lot of female employees or whose businesses are open to the public. So, for example, in retail, Liz Claiborne, Avon were the early ones, American Express. And nowadays, I know Williams-Sonoma, which has stores all over the country, has a good policy. Similarly, you know, the federal government now is encouraging federal agencies to have policies. So the Department of Justice, which has over 100,000 employees, some of whom are law enforcement, some of whom, you know, out in the field, some of whom are lawyers in offices, they have a good policy and they're doing training. And I know also that the American Bar Association recently adopted a resolution encouraging its 400,000 plus members who are in all sorts of companies to adopt policies to address this issue.
Still, only about a third of all workplaces address this issue at all. Is that right? Is that not a valid number?
Right. Only about 30% of companies have policies that address all kinds of workplace violence, let alone domestic violence.
Well, as an attorney who handles these issues, Maya Rigu, how do you see the Baltimore Ravens and the NFL from where you sit as an employer? You know, it's one thing to say an employer considered this behavior completely unacceptable and got rid of somebody who wasn't behaving according to the standards of their industry. That doesn't really appear to be the case here. It really appears that the Baltimore Ravens football team realized that that video was a PR nightmare, that it was horrific, that they had to be decisive and big with their response, and that the NFL, after seeing the second video, thought the same thing. That's kind of different than having a proactive policy.
Right, absolutely. It was pretty reactive to the release of the video. I mean, certainly firing him and suspending him indefinitely from the NFL does send an important message about accountability and that there are non-criminal consequences for domestic and sexual violence, for engaging in those sorts of action. But you're right. I mean, this is just one incident, and it's one that happened to be caught on tape. So the real test is, going forward, how does the NFL handle domestic and sexual violence incidents involving players that happen away from the camera and away from the public eye? And certainly there have been a lot of them before this, and there will continue to be some afterwards.
And the broader issue there is how do workplaces all across the country that don't have a star or PR element handle their issues when it comes to domestic violence? Maya Rigu, senior attorney with Futures Without Violence, thanks for your time.
Thank you.